praise thee, Lord, for thy great plan, that we thy dwelling place may be.
Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry. During his ministry, Witness Lee emphasized the experience of Christ as life and the practical oneness of the believers. He was unbending in his conviction that God's goal is the body of Christ. Through his messages, he stressed the importance for us to grow in life and to function as Christians so that the body can build itself up. We're happy to bring you recorded portions from his ministry today, along with some of our own thoughts, and we welcome your comments and questions. You can reach us toll-free at 888-LIFE-STUDY. That's 888-543-3788. Now let's join today's program.
Today we are going to look at Joseph, a fruitful bough, and Benjamin, a tearing wolf, from the final passages of Genesis. Ron Kangas is with us today to fellowship about our life study of Genesis. Ron, as always, it's good to have you here.
I appreciate very much your warm welcome, and I'd like to echo it by saying I'm very glad to be here for this program.
Ron, today we are again in Genesis chapter 49, and this is one of those chapters that's all-inclusive. Would you give us a quick sketch of the major items of God's economy that have been unveiled in this marvelous chapter?
What we're covering in this particular message, based upon Jacob's prophesying with blessings at the very end of his life, he's finishing his course, and he is fully matured in the divine life, and that maturity is manifested in his speaking. God sovereignly gave him 12 sons. And if we would take the time to study the person, the character, the living of all the 12 sons, we will see that they, in a miniature way, represent the history of the people of Israel. That there is a summary, or we may say an extract, of the entire history of God's people in the Old Testament. Furthermore, because, according to Paul in 1 Corinthians, the history of Israel is a type of the church, Jacob's speaking, prophesying with blessing, unfolds the progress, the history, the development of the church. And furthermore, in a personal way, it enlightens us concerning our own life. And so we may learn from this, from the particular matter that we have with Joseph, that Joseph is a real portrait of the fruitfulness of Christ and is also a positive type of the church.
Thank you, Ron. Let's go to Witness Lee for today's life study of Genesis from chapter 49.
Joseph didn't have any time to argue with his brothers. He didn't have the time to fight with others because he was occupied by this matter of being fruitful. Don't forget, Joseph was a type. The fulfillment must be with the church. The church people should be the most fruitful person. All the people who loved the Lord all became fruitful. Joseph is a son of a fruitful tree. And we know in this whole universe there's only one fruitful tree. That is Christ. Christ as the branch of God is a fruitful tree. In John 15, he says, I am the true vine, and you are the branches. And all the branches must be fruitful. Don't look at the poor situation. Don't look at your weakness. Don't look at your failures. But you have to look at another positive side. Oh, the church, you say, does have two sides. A dark side and a glorious side. On the dark side, sure, look at the poor situation. But on the glorious side, you look at the fruitfulness. Nothing on this earth has become so popular as God's economy today on this earth. God is victorious. And the church is branching out.
Ron, there's a very encouraging exhortation from Witness Lee in this first section today. Joseph, a real portrait of the fruitfulness of Christ, is also a most positive type of the church, which is just ourselves. And if we are going to be fruitful, we need to see ourselves on the positive side of fruitfulness. Don't we, Ron?
This matter of being fruitful is important to God. We see this in John 15, that the vine through the many branches should bring forth much fruit for the glory of God the Father. Well, Joseph, a man of vision communicated to him by the dreams, was a man whose being was fully occupied with God's interests and God's intentions. There was no room in his being for anything negative. Even when he was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife, he was put in prison, yet his inner being is focused positively on God's interests. As a result, under the Lord's blessing, spoken through Jacob, Joseph is a type of Christ, is a person of fruitfulness. That is, the flowing life of God through such a person can accomplish wonderful things to carry out God's eternal purpose. Life flows into others, and they believe into the Son of God. Life is imparted to God's people in the way of nourishing and cherishing and shepherding. So this picture, this aspect of Joseph, indicates that in our experience of Christ, who is the reality of Joseph as a type, and as a type of the reigning of a mature life. Jacob, who became Israel, illustrates maturity. Joseph, spiritually speaking, is the reigning aspect of this mature life. And that kind of reigning with the maturity of life is very fruitful in imparting life and enabling the Lord to move unhindered in his work. Considering that the picture here typifies the history of the church, let's acknowledge something and then emphasize a particular matter. With the history of Israel, there's a lot of negative things, and there are a lot of positive things. And the same is true of the history of the church from the time the Lord declared, I will build my church. Those who are fruitful are those who focus on the positive things, on what God has gained, on what he has accomplished through his faithful and loving people. Others, however, and by contrast, they're just almost obsessed with the weaknesses, the failures, the negative things that occupies their thoughts. That's what they talk about. That's what they emphasize. And the more they do that, the more barren they become themselves. They will become fruitless, utterly barren. But those who are governed by a heavenly vision conveyed to us through the Word of God and focus on the positive things accomplished in the history of the church through those believers that were consecrated to Him, who gave their lives to Him, we can't deny we have their biographies, autobiographies, their testimony, the records. This should inspire us who are living now at this time and in this generation to exercise faith in God and to have a positive view of God, of God's ways, of God's people, and the direction in which the divine life is flowing. If we become in Christ this kind of person, we will be very, very fruitful.
Thank you, Ron. Let's rejoin our life study.
Peter had many branches. Paul had many branches. All the lovers of Christ, all the centuries, everyone had many branches. Do you believe in this? I believe in this. And I saw it. Many branches branching out over what? Over the wall. Don't forget, this is poetry. In poetry, just one word indicates a lot. The wall here. Oh, his branches ran over the wall. The wall here signifies from the day of Pentecost, year after year, decades after decades, and centuries after centuries, walls after walls were raised up by the apostles to restrict their fruitfulness. But history tells us all the time the branches ran over the wall. Have you noticed that in these two persons, the victory is of mainly three things. Number one, Joseph, after being persecuted, being harassed, being attacked, he was not only strong, but also agile. Today, the same thing. All the opposition, all the rumors, only help us to be agile. This is one aspect of his victory. He was made strong by the mighty one of Jacob, the source of his being strong and agile was God. Then, in this section of the two persons, Benjamin was likened to a carrion wolf. Of course, this term wolf is not a nice term, but I tell you, when you tear down anything, you don't need to be nice. Benjamin was a wolf. Look into Paul's word, my casting down, reasoning, and capture all the salt. That sure is not a nice word. Not humble, not gentle, not nice, not mild, rather wild. You read it. Joseph is fruitful. Joseph is victorious.
Ron, we most often see Joseph and Benjamin in a very pleasant and attractive light. But here in this last section, we also see that there is a fierce side of Benjamin to tear down God's enemy and his opposition to the gospel and to God's testimony. Ron, say something about the opposition that is spoken of here.
Now we're considering a rather striking word spoken concerning Benjamin. And the word says that Benjamin will just fiercely tear down the enemy. And at first, we may be rather surprised that Benjamin is such a good person, a proper person. Even God's dwelling place is associated with him. But why this word about he's like a wolf tearing the negative things to shreds? Well, we should appreciate this word if we realize what God created us for. We're going back to Genesis 1. That is to express him with his image and to represent him with his authority, to recover the earth from the usurping hand of the enemy. When it comes to dealing with an enemy, that's not the time to be nice guys, to be gentlemen. This is war. This is fierce. And we're fierce in a divine sense in that we express God's hatred for sin and for the evil things. And we carry out God's will regarding his enemy. And we should do this with power and with fierceness, to not leave anything remaining of the enemy. His work should be totally destroyed. The Lord Jesus came, we know from the New Testament, to nullify the works of the devil. This is war. This is one aspect of the history of Israel. This is an important aspect of the genuine and proper and real church life. And this will become part of our maturing spiritual life when we as members of the body participate with the body in this corporate warfare. And there are times we need to be like wolves tearing the enemy apart.
Thank you, Ron. Let's go back to Witness Lee for the last section of today's life study.
Listen what Jacob said, the mighty one of Jacob, the shepherd of Israel, and the tongue of Israel, and the all-sufficient one, and the one who helps you, and the one who blesses you. This describes why Joseph and Benjamin became so ultimate in the consummation, because they trusted in the shepherd of Israel. And this stood upon the stump of Israel. And they trusted in the all-sufficient one. Today, if we are Josephs, if we are Benjamins, we must be this kind of trusting person. We must be this kind of person trusting in the mighty one, in the shepherd of Israel, in the rock of the church, and in the all-sufficient one. And in the all-inclusive Christ. This must be our life. Our life is a victorious life because our life is a trusting life. Jacob, in his blessing, he mentioned the reason of Joseph's situation. Joseph was that high, was that fruitful, was that victorious because he trusted. This is the secret of Joseph's being fruitful, of his being victorious. He was trusted in the Lord. We see the facts. We see the testimony. We see the livings of the forefathers, how they trusted in their God. Now their God becomes our God. So we just follow their footsteps, trusting in their God, who is the Almighty One, the All-Sufficient One, and who is also our Shepherd and our Rock and our Foundation.
Ron, what a wonderful scene. We have just seen the full view of Joseph and Benjamin, depicting a life that is fruitful, victorious, and trusting. This is the kind of experience, Ron, that I know all serious believers and seekers of Christ long to have. But what kind of life is this? Is this the kind of life God expects us to have? And if so, how do we get it?
Another aspect to Joseph and Benjamin, in addition to the fruitfulness and the victoriousness, in Benjamin's case, he's the fierce wolf. But Jacob speaking concerning Joseph indicates there would be archers. That's a metaphor of the enemy shooting at him. And there would be walls erected to hinder him. But under God's blessing, Joseph is able to withstand the attacks. And because of his fruitfulness, the branches go over the walls. The enemy erects a barrier. He thinks now he's containing God in his move. But Christ, typified by Joseph in this aspect, is victorious. He goes over the walls. Then we see, though, toward the very end of Jacob's life, the key to his fruitfulness, and that key is trusting in God. At the very end of his life, as he was lying on the bed, unable to move, Jacob's trust was absolutely in God. And this was a fundamental lesson he learned throughout his 147 years, not to trust himself, not to rely on his cleverness, his strength, his ability, but to trust in God in every situation, in every matter. So regarding life, that trust brings in fruitfulness. Regarding the enemy's attack and the spiritual warfare, that trust brings in victory. Now, as we are drawing this to an end, we need to comment on this one matter, that the experiences, the spiritual experiences portrayed in Jacob, are the goal of truly serious believers and seekers of Christ. That deep within they realize they cannot stop where they are in spiritual development. They're just a yearning, a longing, a seeking for more. And this portrait of Jacob at the end is such an encouragement to us and such believers. Look how he began. Such a scheming person, so clever. And God disciplined him through the environment. Eventually, he touched him in his thigh, and this broke his strength. And eventually, he's brought to the point where just he simply trusts in God. And here is a picture of really a normal spiritual growth in life and development to maturity. Those that are fruitful, those that are victorious, those that can speak words of blessing, full of life. And this kind of person is produced by being brought to the point in all simplicity when we have no confidence in the flesh. I'm thinking of Paul's word at the beginning of Philippians 3. It says, we are the real circumcision who boast in Christ Jesus. We have no confidence in the flesh. We serve in the Spirit. This portrait of the spiritual development of God's people and Jacob, and this very helpful opening up and interpretation and application of this portrait, may have the effect on the lives of believers listening to this, who are just yearning for a way to go on. And I'd like to assure them, the way is open. God's heart is open. The word is open. The pathway is clear. Let's advance to maturity in life.
Thank you, Ron, for coming in and being part of this program today.
I say again, I appreciate being here. And I also sincerely thank you for the opportunity to participate in this particular message and in this particular program. Thank you.
And thank you for listening. We invite you to contact us toll-free, 888-LIFE-STUDY. That's 1-888-543-3788. Or email us to radio@lsm.org. On behalf of Ron Kangas, I'm Matt Miller. Thank you for listening today.
Thank you for listening to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. If you'd like to read the works of Witness Lee and Watchman Nee, just visit our website, ministrybooks.org. From there, you'll find over 600 complete titles available to read online free of charge. Witness Lee's ministry stood squarely on the shoulders of his mentor and co-worker, Watchman Nee, as well as those of countless ministers of the New Testament throughout the ages. The riches contained in his life study of the Bible represent the top, the cream of his 70-plus years of ministry, and range in topic from lessons for new believers to commentary and exposition on passages from every book of the Bible. But they all contain practical and deeper truths about the Christian life. Again, this wonderful online resource is available to you free of charge at ministrybooks.org. If you have questions or comments about this ministry or the program you heard today, email us radio@lsm.org or call us toll-free, 888-LIFE-STUDY. That's 1-888-543-3788. Thanks for listening today.